Back to this multi-sport stadium, we've spent some time talking about the possibilities of adding a college baseball program at Boise State University, Kurt, but other sports were mentioned in the talking points by Councilman Ludwig, who was in studio with us and talking about this project, and he mentioned other sports on campus, and women's soccer gets mentioned, as does a lacrosse program, which has been a club sport for some time at Boise State, but I know is not offered through the Mountain Pacific or whatever other organization you'd go through. What about the prospects of, take the BSU women's soccer program, for example, in their current situation and how this could improve it or not?
Well, I mean, that's obviously very possible because we already have the team. You know, that's a...
But you don't have the expense of a lease in a multi-sport facility?
Yeah, we don't, but, you know, we have a practice. We have a great playing surface. We have a great practice facility for our team. And, you know, they really only play 9 or 10 matches at home every year. So I think that's a very, very big possibility for our women's soccer team to participate in there. In terms of lacrosse, you know, Jeff, like you said, it's just a club sport right now. And, you know, in order for someone to participate in there, if it has to be Boise State NC2A affiliated, obviously that's another added sport, you know, that we would have to consider taking on, and we haven't had much conversation about that up to this point.
Mm-hmm. So women's soccer is a possibility.
Absolutely.
No matter what occurs.
Yeah.
I don't know of many other sports that can go in there, although Ludwig, if he's ready to build for Boise State, not only build you your multi-sport baseball facility, but I don't know if you're in the part where he's also going to get you your aquatic center, too.
I did hear that.
Yeah.
So I am going to hold him up.
One. Yeah, I'm going to. Prater could even come down there and swim.
Oh yeah, yeah. We're going to hold him to that one. Gosh, that's a big need at our place. Obviously, our swimmers are right in the Mount West Conference tournament right now, or tournament. I don't think it's the
meet.
Mount West Conference meet, and we're leading after the first day, and they've been swimming out at the Y, you know, since we got the program started, and so that would be a terrific addition, but we really haven't talked much about that particular subject, but that was good to hear that could be a possibility.
Another thing in the news this week was the institutional funds request by University of Idaho, and long ago the State Board put in these safeguards. They said, look, the president has the authority of how he wants to handle his budget on campuses. It's just that if he wants to transfer money from the general fund, the institutional support number, over to the athletic department is capped at the following. My memory, Kurt, is that Boise State's capped at one number, Idaho's capped at a different number, and Idaho State even at a different number.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's changed through the years because they gradually phased that in.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about how institutional support works?
Well, it is a percentage. I'm sorry, I don't know the exact percentage. I know what we get. We receive about $1.8 million of institutional support, similar to probably what the U of I was talking about earlier this week. And so what we do is, you know, at the end of the day, that's just a part of our overall revenue stream. But that money, in a sense, is kind of almost earmarked for gender equity. And if you guys remember 8 to 10 years ago, we added two sports, swimming and softball. And That was kind of what we did. We looked at that money, and that's been supporting, at least part of that money has been supporting that up to this point. So our take from the university, we get that number at the beginning of the year, we put it in our budget, and in a sense, if you want to say, hey, what do you spend that money on exactly, we look at that as, you know, gender equity money to help pay for those two sports.
Another point that came up, visiting with Kurt Avesey, Boise State's athletic director on Sports Radio The Ticket, Caves and Prater. The idea about student fees and its relationship to scholarship expense, it's a little complicated, but at Idaho they found one of the challenges they had was at the same time their scholarship expenses kept rising,
mm-hmm.
and so their number that they had to pay to the other side of the campus was going up.
Mm-hmm.
The student fee number wasn't going with it, that the number or the percentage of the student fee that goes to athletics, that wasn't rising. So it wasn't keeping up with the cost of the increases of the scholarship. And they pointed out in their opinions that they sent back to the State Board, that's a problem for us. Our student fee revenue is down, and that's a problem, as well as it just being down overall. It's supposed to come up because they've had some increases in enrollment. But getting a student fee increase in percentage isn't as easy as just going into the student school board and asking for it, is it?
Well, I don't know exactly how they do it there. What I can tell you at our place is we have to do two things. Every year we have to go in front of the the student group, and if we want to request more, we have to certainly pull some, you know, put a number out there and explain what that need is. And then now, which is something new, we also have to go in and we have to justify the money that they're already giving us and what that means to our department and how important that is. So, and I think that's a good thing. I think that is a good thing for us to have to go justify, or maybe not justify, but just define what we use the money for. Excuse me. In terms of how much we get, that goes up or down based on enrollment. So it's a certain amount for full-time students. It's a certain amount for part-time students. It's a certain amount for students that pay in the summertime. So it's kind of a, in our world, it's a three-legged.
As a percentage.
As a percentage. And so, you know, the only reason that number in the end kind of changes is it depends on, you know, how many kids on your campus are paying that bill. So if you're, at least at Boise State, if you're down in enrollment, your student fee revenue is going to be less. And if you're up in enrollment, you might make more. And, you know, they're right that the tuition does increase. But when that tuition increases, that increases our expense for scholarships, like you mentioned. And so, when tuition goes up, that costs the athletic department more. And if it's not more students, then you would say, in a sense, that your student fee revenue remains the same. So I can see where, you know, that number may have a bigger separation.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Yeah. Fair or not fair, I don't know if I...
What it is.
Yeah, what it is, but that's how it works.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, money's always at the root of all things, and I think it boggles the mind, really, how these books get balanced, because it's on the backs, to me, of one sport. I understand men's basketball is tremendous, but there's no net revenue there. And sometimes you got to have a net. You got to have something that has a net to it somewhere. And if it's consistently not, the pressure is increasingly on a lot of sources to create revenue. The open market, the donor, and a lot of other sources. And in the face of all this, adding sports seems to be pretty difficult from the outside looking in, no matter for whatever reason.
Well, it is, but at the same time, you know, we've had difficult financial challenges in front of us before. And, you know, a lot of times we'll lean on our fans. And in this case, if it's, you know, if it's baseball, we're going to have some really strong conversations with those people who have a passion for baseball in this valley and for Boise State. It's no different than another sport. I mean, if we sat here and said, hey, if you have sports that don't make net revenue increase for your budget, we wouldn't have any sports. And so that to me isn't what it's all about. I mean, I also look at the other side, Jeff. We talk about this, the experience for the student athletes and everything else that comes with that. Football definitely drives the revenue train for us, as it does across the country in Division I places that have football. So you got to make sure that you're doing good things in that, because that helps support the whole thing, and you have to maximize all the revenue in the other sports that you can get. But it isn't all about, you know, just selling the ticket. We've got a lot of people that are interested in men's and women's golf, supporting that program. We don't even sell tickets for that. So there's other ways to generate revenue. You've just got to find the people that have a passion for it, and you got to go talk to them, and hopefully you can find a way to get it done.
So, I think one of the very curious parts about baseball, and you know, everybody's had this conversation, is how will it go in this community? Will you guys do any kind of a study? Is there any kind of ways to measure what the college baseball market is in this community?
We haven't to this point. That certainly doesn't mean that we won't. I think when you take on something like this, you have to know all that. Yeah. And you basically have to just get out and talk to the people. And there's some baseball people here that have been around a long time that know a lot of people in the baseball community. I don't have to tell you who they are. You know who they are already. And, you know, we'll certainly reach out to those, individuals or groups of people that are interested in it and gauge that. We've always had people calling in and going, you know, when are you going to add baseball? That's been a pretty common question by a lot of people. So they're out there. How many there are and what they're willing to do financial, that's probably something that we've got to find out.
Is baseball part of an equation eventually, if it comes up again, into moving into a different conference?
Oh, you mean the athletic department?
If you have baseball on your resume?
I wouldn't say that's a reason, but I would say that it can't help. I mean, it can't hurt. you know, the two conferences that we've been talking about over the last 5 to 7 years are both real strong baseball conferences. Yeah. But right now, like I said, so is the Mountain West. And I don't think there's any problem with playing baseball in the Mountain West. Would that help us down the road if there was an opportunity? I guess I could say that, you know, it wouldn't hurt us, that's for sure.
It seems the baseball market to me, because I can run my own survey. I'll tell you what I think. There's a whole group of people that support Boise State in anything they do.
Yeah.
Anything. They don't support Prater. They support us sometimes. But anything Boise State does, if Boise State, and they're baseball fans on top of that. They love the Giants, the Cubs, the Reds, or they hate the Reds, the Dodgers. And so they're going to support, they
don't
want to know
those Mariners.
The Mariners.
There's a lot of
when
Mariner
can we support
yeah.
Boise State's baseball program?
Right.
Because they just want to support the school.
Yeah.
And that's probably to me the biggest market out there on the donor side.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt. And I mean that feels pretty good hearing someone say that. You know,
that's my opinion.
No
it's
doubt.
It's worth as much as I just gave you.
It's and you know, maybe take baseball out of the equation. I think that's across the board for all of our programs. I think that's even across campus from an academic standpoint. People support it because they love Boise State. That's
right.
What's so darn great about this place.
Right.
We got fans and alums and corporations that know that this university makes a difference in the Treasure Valley, and they want to support that. And we certainly would have to lean on that.
So the model, Kurt, on the donor side, we know the model for football, membership, right, seats. There's others who probably give the coaches club, totally different organization. Mm-hmm. Similar for basketball, same model. I don't know enough about some. I know Patton and how they've gotten organized with tennis, and they had some tremendous ladies step up and do unbelievable things. Mm-hmm. Would a baseball model of fundraising be somewhere in between all those, closer to the model of football and basketball?
I think very similar.
Yeah, to football and basketball?
Well, very
tickets.
Similar. Yeah, tickets, membership, donations, enhancement funds.
Coaches, clubs, or...
Yeah, all
so,
that.
So that's a good thing, right?
Oh,
you have the model.
There's no doubt. Yeah, and it's we don't have to start from scratch, that's for sure. I mean, we've been doing it for a while with our other sports, and I wouldn't see it be any difference in this case.
There's premium seating, there's suites, there's club seats.
Right.
That's what they're talking about down there.
Yeah.
And so... It's an extension of your Learfield arrangement. They would have, hopefully, I guess, opportunities to represent the baseball program.
You know, we haven't really discussed that. I'm not. I think that is the case in some places, and then in other cases, you know, when you're playing in a public facility like that, maybe there's another group that controls that. We haven't gone that far in the conversation.
Get the outfield signs.
Yeah.
Get the outfield. Let me give you my only piece of it. I'll give you another piece of it. Get the outfield signs.
Yeah. There you go.
That's where the money's at.
Yeah.
That's what my experience was.
Good advice.
Could put John Patrick in center field.
Hey, don't forget Saturday, 4 o'clock, playing Wyoming and for first place again. And if we get that, we're tied, and it's coming down to the end. So excited.
We mentioned that the postseason appetite for basketball with a young team, you know, the NIT is a guaranteed bid for a regular season conference champion.
That's correct.
So that's really important.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to that Las Vegas tournament, Kurt. That was held last year, but there wasn't much appetite to get involved in some of the other tournaments. What do you know about the NAB?
The CBI and the CIT.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then VegasInsider.com, which I think is gone, but I don't know that for a fact.
I don't know if it's gone, but I haven't heard whether it's still around.
The other two, CBI and CIT, are still around, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What can you tell us about the NIT, how it may work, or these other two tournaments, and your
appetite
for them?
Well, the NIT, I mean, there's two ways to get in it. You either win your conference or you get invited. This team right now is 16 and 8, maybe. I should know that.
I think that's right.
Yeah, 16 and 8. You know, 3 or 4 more wins and get to 20, and we've had some good wins this year. And who knows, maybe there would be a possibility in at large if we didn't win the conference championship. But that's our goal right now, is to win it, and so we don't have to worry about that.
In terms of the NIT, the CBI, the CIT, they're all business arrangements. I think you have to bid for home games on all three of them.
I don't know if it's a bid, Mike, as much as it is just saying that you have interest in hosting them.
Okay.
So
no official paperwork, no official number on paper.
Yeah, no. Well, there's guarantees that you have to give, but it's not, you don't outbid anybody. You just have to accept the terms. So let's say you want to play a home game in the CBI, you express interest in that, and then you have a first round and a second round game, and you've got to have a guarantee back to them. And as long as you're willing to do that, I think your name is thrown in the hat, and if they think you're a good place to have it, then you can have it.
So. Obviously, there's a lot of basketball to be played, so Leon doesn't care about that right now. But have you guys talked about, because he's shown in the past that, you know, unless it benefits his program, he's not interested in going to maybe some of these tournaments between the NIT, the CBI, and the CIT. Any conversations philosophically about how you all want to approach the postseason this year?
Yeah, we haven't. And sometimes it does come down to the youth of the team and whether or not, you know, I think we talked about this last year. It's a really, really long season. And the last thing a head coach wants to talk about with four games left is the postseason. So we'll probably wait another week and then have that conversation and decide, you know, what our interests may be depending on where our team sits.